Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, this is a live program. I want to praise God for Brother Nathan for taking time tonight to come out and share this warning. He's come under severe attack, just as I have and others that have been willing to preach the truth, because it's not a convenient gospel for most. Most are not willing to realize that their world, as they know it, is about to come to an end. It had to run out sometime, people. And yeah, we could have been born any time in the last 6,000 years, but it's not an accident you were born in this time. You know, God chooses his vessels of honor and dishonor. And the question is, you have an opportunity to do something with your life. If the spirit has not left your body, you still have an option down here. Okay, death is certain for us all. Even if you make it to the end, you've got to leave this body to take on the glorified body. The question is, what are you going to do with your remaining time? Even David had an expiration date, as I read the other day, in Kings. As he was coming up to the end of his life before the torch was passed to Solomon. And he reflected back and even lamented that he had made some bad decisions in his life. We've all screwed up. We can't really redo the past. But what you have control over is today, all right? And there's still an option to be saved in this time. Yes, some of us are going to have to lose our head for Christ. But Jesus said, is the servant greater than the master? You know, before Christ can come back, there's going to be many of us going to lose our lives. You're going to have the chance to make the same decision Peter and the other apostles did, the other disciples. Are you going to deny Christ, or are you going to go to the cross with him? And that may be what he requires for you and I. Some of you may wake up too late, and you'll find yourself in the concentration camp, looking from the inside out on barbed wire that points in, not out. Go read the Department of Justice report. Look who is the new terrorist, okay? Islam has taken over America without firing a shot. They put one of their own men into the White House. And this is not just pick on Obama night. Folks, it started a long time ago. We can trace this all the way back to Poppy Bush, George Bush Sr., who talked about the thousand points of light, the birth of the New World Order, who's involved in opium smuggling out of the Golden Triangle, Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam. Go ask Colonel Bo Greitz, the most decorated soldier in Vietnam, who interviewed General Kaesung, trace it to George Bush Sr. and Colonel Armitage and his father, Prescott Bush, who financed Adolf Hitler during World War II with Brown Brothers Harriman. Go read the front cover of Time if you think I've lost my mind. We've got George Bush Sr. who brought us 9-1-1. We have Bill Clinton and the 100-person body count. Mena, Arkansas, secret sold to the Chinese, treaty for open skies. Shall I go on? State Department 7277. All the FEMA Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot, Operation Magic Lantern. Go Google these terms if it's new to you. This didn't just happen overnight. And now we've got Obama, who has probably signed more executive orders since his time in office than any other president to date combined. And we have to understand that we brought it on ourselves through sin, through the abortion of 40 million children. They're putting homosexuals in the pulpits by sending our money to pimps in the pulpit who tell you they need a $20 million Learjet so they can fly higher. Well, folks, if God needed them to get to their destination any faster than first class, he could translate them like Philip the Evangelist. And Proverbs says, if you support the rich, don't expect anything back. That's the paraphrase version. Okay, we've sown into bad ground, and we're going to reap not the harvest, we're going to reap the whirlwind on our heads for looking the other way in compromise, thinking sitting on the church pew once a week and putting a couple bucks in the offering plate did God a service. We've neglected the poor, the widows, the orphans. We have not stood in the gap for those who have been slaughtered. Divorce is rampant in the church. Homosexuality is accepted. We're building an Islam mosque in the middle of New York City, and that's all right by our president. We've taken God out of the courtroom. We fired Judge Roy Moore because he stood up for value. And we said, that's okay. I don't even know if we do Pledge of Allegiance in school. Do we still have In God We Trust on our coin? I don't know anymore. I wouldn't doubt it if it's been taken off. The point is, judgment must fall in America now. I sat across from prophets and I said, what are you doing here in the country? You know what's coming. And they said, we have no choice. God sent us here to warn the people. But they've also told me that God has the ability to protect his people. That which is his, he will protect. My sheep hear my voice and know that they will not follow. The rest are going to be destroyed, folks. And judgment starts first in the house of the Lord. The sifting of the saints is started. You can no longer sit on the fence. You're going to either have to be hot or cold. Make your decision. Choose this day whom ye will serve. And if you don't, God is going to force you. He's going to turn up the heat. He's going to force you. And you'll either give all to Christ and be willing to sell out and forsake all, or you're going to become offended when the persecution starts. And the vast majority of the mainstream church today will be offended for the faith because they've been sold a lie. And that is that they were going to get out of here before it all started. Have I been preaching 30 minutes? I don't know. I've lost track of time. And I'm not talking pick up your AR-15, folks. He that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. He that is meant to go into captivity, into captivity he shall go. This is spiritual war, folks. The only sword you're permitted to pick up is the sword of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about Second Amendment rights here. You have a right to defend your family. But what is coming? God is sending. Just as he sent the Babylonians against Jerusalem. And he told them, you've been judged, you've been weighed into the balance, and you've been found lacking. Now you're going into captivity. America's going into captivity, folks, and your hope and my hope, the only hope any of us have is in Jesus Christ. So that being said, let me get Nathan Leal on the line. Stand by as we dial. This is a live show. If you're just tuning in, this is Omega Man Radio Network. We've been blessed tonight to have Nathan Leal. He'll be back with us momentarily, and if you have not been with us since the beginning, this will be in an MP3 format, and you'll be able to get this. Stand by.
Brother Shannon.
Brother Nathan, I apologize. I had to preach.
Oh, man, that was good. I like this.
Let me give you the microphone, my friend. We have an hour left. Go for it.
Are we on the air?
We are on the air.
We're ready for another hour. Okay, well, in the last hour, I was sharing about the prophetic dream that God gave me about the coming super depression, and I want to share now some of the other prophetic dreams that God has given, and the reason for that is so that the people, the listeners, can have an idea of what to expect. Now, there's another event that's going to be coming, and in this, I don't know if I should spend a lot of time on every dream. Let me just say it this way. The banks, the small banks of America that are not tied to the big corporate banks like Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and those banks that have been given stimulus bailouts, there's small banks around the country that have not had that privilege. And I had a prophetic dream, Shannon, that I was standing on a street corner in small town USA, and I was looking at a small bank building, and it was a one-story building, maybe 50, 75 feet wide, so it wasn't very big. And then I heard the rumble of a propeller airplane come right over my head, and it flew right into the windows of the bank building, kind of the way the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon, you know, that image that we see?
Yes, sir.
It was real low, and it went in through the glass of the bank building, and it went through it. And when it hit the glass and all the glass broke, I was able to see inside of the bank. And immediately, I saw one man stand up with his back to the window, and he had a white shirt on, and I believe that he was the bank manager. But he didn't have enough time to turn around, so the wing of the airplane clipped him and knocked him down. And the wing and the airplane flew through the entire building and came out the other side. Well, when I saw this happen in my dream, I started to scream, called 911, and I ran up the sidewalk, across the street, ran around to the right of the bank and went up the driveway. And when I got up the driveway, the wing of the plane was on the ground. And there was one man standing by the wing, and I screamed to him, "Where's the plane?" And he pointed to the end of the parking lot, and the plane was crashed. And then I looked to the bank expecting to see a big hole with dead bodies, but the only thing I saw was one fluorescent light hanging from the ceiling by a wire. Everything was gone. And then the dream was over. So as I thought God about this, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but here's what God said, Shannon. He said that that plane is the economy, and the economy is going to crash, and before it crashes, it's going to take out small banks. And the engine fell off of the plane because that's the economic engine that fell off. So the economy is barely hanging on even to this day, but at some point, it's not going to be able to hang on any longer, and it's going to crash. So when this happens, Shannon, it means that small banks all at one time are going to be gone. They're going to be cleaned out, and it's going to be unexpected. That's why the manager, had his back to the airplane. He didn't see it coming. He didn't see the crash coming. He didn't know. So this thing's going to be unexpected. So as I thought God about it, God painted a picture that if you can imagine it happening when, let's say, people are on vacation or they're gone from their house and they're on a three-day journey away and the banks crash, well, debit cards aren't going to work. You won't be able to have the gas unless you have cash to get back home. So if you can imagine how many people rely on debit cards to do just-in-time shopping, you know, every few days or once a week, well, their debit cards aren't going to work, or their accounts are going to be frozen. They won't have access to their money. This is going to affect people in ways we can't even think about or imagine. So a lot of people who have their money in the bank, we have seen one by one when FDIC Friday occurs that they'll shut down a bank and then people have access with the representative from the FDIC to file a claim, and within a few days or a few weeks they get their money. Well, imagine hundreds of bank failures happening at the same time, Shannon. The FDIC, by the way, the FDIC right now is broke. That has already been reported, but the U.S. Treasury has given them a bottomless free check, carte blanche, to just continue rescuing the failed banks. But that can't go on forever, because when the dollar crashes, those banks are not going to have FDIC insurance. So that event is coming. That's in addition to the one I just mentioned. Now, I don't know if that was going to happen before the dollar crash. That's the thing I'm not aware of, but I expect that one to also happen. Another thing that's going to happen, this is another prophetic dream, is I had another dream that I was in a field, and the Statue of Liberty appeared before me, and she was in the field. She wasn't on Ellis Island, and her head fell off and rolled to my feet, and the dream was over. And I woke up, and I didn't know what it meant, and I went back to sleep, and I had the same dream. And in the second dream, the arm of God came out of a cloud with a sword as long as her body, and God chopped her head off, and the head fell off again. She was beheaded, and the head rolled to my feet. And then I heard the words, "Liberty will be decapitated." And
wow.
I woke up. Of course, that was pretty self-explanatory, Liberty. So I thought God about it, and God said the reason, by the way, I didn't mention this, she was on a small hill. God said the reason she's on a hill is because that's Capitol Hill, and legislation is going to be passed from Capitol Hill that's going to destroy the Constitution, take away liberties of Americas, tyranny is going to come. So that's also in our future. So when you start getting a picture of all these things, one by one, Shannon, God is going to make sure his fourfold judgment is complete. And when this thing plays out as far as liberty being decapitated, as I sought him about that one in prayer, and by the way, this is published on my website, God told me that an event is coming. This is over a year ago. He said an event is coming to America that's going to be so terrible that it's going to shake every Christian, even the strong ones, in ways they never imagined. It was almost word for word the same thing that David Wilkerson said.
Wow.
In the urgent warning.
Yes.
And they were only weeks apart when this happened. So what is that event, Shannon? I don't know. But God said, I want you to tell everybody to pray, to get in a habit of praying, to learn how to pray for themselves, for their family, and especially this one, Shannon. And when God said this one, I was crushed, because I couldn't believe, or I can't imagine this thing happening, but this is what God said. God said, tell the people to pray that they're not separated from their children. So I said, God, what does that mean? God said, just tell them that they will be able to be with their children when this thing comes. So, Shannon, I have three kids. I have a 4-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old, and a 17-year-old. I'm a father, and that I can't understand. I couldn't imagine having to face something like that, to lose your children in a calamity or not know if they're okay. Does that mean the calamity is going to happen during school hours when parents are at work and their kids are away from them? I don't know. Does it mean children are going to be taken away from parents? I don't know. But that's what God said. So there is a remedy, though, Shannon. The remedy is a spiritual bank account that has prayer in it. And this bank account, God made it very clear. Tell the people to pray for their children and to learn how to bombard heaven with cries for mercy and with cries for a sheltering and with cries for a protection, for a supernatural covering over their family. Do it right now. So, listeners, please take these words to heart. I know so many Christians are not used to praying like that. Most people do the 5-minute I lay me down to sleep, or they might think about God as they drive to work or maybe in the shower, but going into your bedroom and closing the door and telling your family to leave you alone for a while because you have to seek God, that's the kind of Christianity we need to get to, Shannon. And I want to challenge people, even though they've never done it, that's where we need to be. And if people say, well, I don't know how to pray like that, well, it starts with practice, and it starts by just doing it. Get a CD player or an iPod and put on some praise music and let it be playing in the background and have your Bibles and just practice doing this. But right now is the time to do this in advance, because after the event happens and if the people have not placed into their spiritual bank account prayers to protect their kids, I can't say it enough, Shannon. They may see this thing happen where they are separated from their kids. So,
I believe that, Nathan. I did have a chance to talk one-on-one with Benjamin Baruch.
Right.
And I know the man, folks. I believe that the vision was real when he was lifted up and stuck, set down into a concentration camp in America, and his wife was taken in one direction, his kids were pulled off in another direction, and he was moved and herded in with the men, and they were put in a long line. And they were asked, will they deny Christ and be set free? And if they didn't, their head was taken off with a laser-guided buzzsaw. Revelations 2 talks about if you go into captivity, keep the faith, because in 10 days it'll be over with. It means your head is lifted off of your body. And some of us may be there. Only God knows. And if you have to lose your life for Christ's sake, there's a martyr's reward waiting. But do we understand, Nathan, what it'll really be like when that happens? I don't think we have any idea. And that's why I think God was saying he was trying to prepare people so that they would not faint. Because there's no turning back at that point, people. That when the time to act comes, the time to prepare is over with.
It's too late. So the person on the sideline that mocks and scoffs and doubts, unfortunately, there's going to be a body count. That's the other thing God has shared on this, Shannon. We are going to see people stepping over carcasses of people in the cities, in the country, by the wayside, from starvation and other means that lost their lives. So when I'm done sharing the rest of my dreams and visions, I'm going to share and talk about the remnant for a little bit. But there's another vision that God gave me of earth changes that are going to be coming. Now, when God judges again, Shannon, he does it complete. He does it sure, so that people cannot say it was a lucky guess or it was just a coincidence. Unfortunately, as the earth changes happen, they're still going to do that because people are going to blame it on global warming, but not God. But that's beside the point. What we're going to see happen is volcanic eruptions are going to occur. I saw in the spirit a volcano erupting from the ground. And the odd thing about this one, Shannon, was that there was no cone. I was in this city. I found myself outside, and I started walking up to strangers, and I told them to come hide themselves in the place that I had prepared. So 5 people knew who I was, and they said, okay, we'll come with you. And then there were 5 others And I invited them also, and they said, okay, we'll come. So they started following me to a building that in the dream existed, and I knew it was a place of safety. And as I was walking with them in front of me, I just had the urge to run. So I told them, run, it's coming. We have to get to shelter. And so we were running, and as I looked back, there was in the horizon the tree line, but beyond the tree line, I saw the volcanic burst of an eruption, but there was no cone coming out of the ground. So it came out of flat ground, the volcano.
Wow.
I don't understand why it did that, and I was wondering, where's the cone? But I kept running. So we ended up in the place of safety, and then we were protected. But I don't understand that one, but it's real amazing right now, Shannon. We are hearing about sinkholes, and the ground is shaking. They're happening everywhere. So God is trying to, he told us in Matthew 24, you will see in diverse places earthquakes. So these things are happening. I had another prophetic dream where I saw the Cascade Range. There was a volcano erupting lava, and you could see it from Portland, Oregon. I don't know which mountain it was, but it was happening there. And then I also had another prophetic dream of a tsunami, and I want to share that one. I was at a beach, and my family decided to camp out on the beach, and I was on a seawall about 40 feet high, and I didn't want to sleep because I was just watching the horizon as they went to sleep. And it was in Galveston, Texas, when I was on the seawall. Suddenly I heard screams from my family, and I ran down to where they were on the beach, and the waters had come in and were lapping their sleeping bags. And I looked out to the water in the horizon, and you know how when you see a tidal wave, it'll start rising far, far away?
Yes.
It started doing that, so I screamed, run. So we ran up the seawall, we got into a vehicle, and here came the tsunami. A second wave came in, and it was halfway up the seawall, but we were at the top. And then a third one came in, and we started driving along the seawall to escape, and it came over the seawall. It was 2 feet high over the seawall. And then another one came, and it came in waves, Shannon. And on one side of the seawall was the ocean, the other side was the city, and I saw a lumberyard underwater, and all the wood was floating. And then I saw a refinery, and there was 30 feet of water over this refinery, and it was underwater. So I don't know where
wow.
this refinery was. I don't know if it was Texas City, or did it represent something else? I'm not sure. But then the final wave came, and it was 50 feet tall, and it totally engulfed our vehicle, but we were still able to drive, imagine this, like SpongeBob, underwater till we came out of the water on a high bridge, and we were unaffected. So God was protecting us, and the dream was over. So I've sought him, and I've asked him, what does this mean, God? And I've shared this dream with some other brothers, and what I can conclude so far with this one is that it's twofold. What it means is that a tsunami is going to come, and it's going to hit the shorelines, and I believe that we're going to see some refineries underwater. And when the lumber was underwater, so that's going to affect lumber, it's going to affect housing, and we're going to see housing underwater, and the refineries are going to be underwater, so that's going to affect oil and gas. So it's a twofold representation of what we have coming. In addition to that, it's going to come in waves. So it's not going to all be at one time, but it's going to be in waves. So I expect that to be happening. So it's like when a judgment starts, it's a person will wave their white flag to heaven and say, God, I've had enough, please stop. But this is how it works, Shannon, and this is what's so sad about it. The judgment of God is sure. And every time he judged Israel, while it was happening, you wave a white flag, it's too late. It's happening. And it's not going to be stopped. And it's going to go through to its fulfillment. Once the judgment starts, the land has an appointment. And the heavenly hourglass of God has marked the calendar of God. And he issues a holy mandate from heaven. And he tells his holy angels to go forth in the world and to spread out the judgment until the men cry out to him in repentance. And when judgment comes forth, it's meant to tear hearts so that they can come forth to God. And we read that over and over in the book of Hosea. We have returned to God because he has torn us, but now he will heal us. So when the judgment comes, Shannon, it's meant to work a useful purpose. Unfortunately, people in advance do not cry out to God in advance to be torn in their hearts in repentance. So God has to use his mighty hand and his works to do it. And that's why I have to plead. Folks, listeners, listen to me. You don't want to be torn by God after this thing gets started. Let your hearts be torn in advance now. The time is wasting away. There's not much time left. So I want to share now the big one, the big tamale. Now, up to this point, Shannon, what I have shared is overwhelming. And I know the average person is listening to this, and it's scary, but that's what it's supposed to be because God is mighty. But there's something else. There's another one that's even bigger than what I've mentioned, and it's going to be the grand tamale. So in order to explain this one, I want to tell you about another prophetic dream, and then I'm going to read a prophecy that God gave me just a few months ago. But in this final prophetic dream, I was standing outdoors in a field, and I heard rumbling. And I was staring in front of me. There was no houses, no buildings. There was just in the horizon, the land in the horizon. It was flat. I could have been in any flat area of the country. And from behind, it was like thunderclouds were coming from behind over the sky. And they were rolling in slow motion. These clouds, Shannon, were unlike any thunderclouds I had ever seen. It wasn't thunder because they were solid pitch black. They looked like creosote. And they were rolling through the sky, high above. And as they rolled over my head in slow motion, there was ball lightning illuminating the different puffs of the clouds. And it was like they were rolling along the sky. And little lightning bolts were shooting out. And it kept coming over my head toward the horizon in front of me. And before I knew it, the entire sky was solid black. This cloud was, it wasn't a thunderstorm. It was solid black, and it turned completely black. And it was during the daytime, but as this thing filled the sky, it was no longer day. It was dark. After the sky was full of this black cloud, it started to, in different portions of the cloud, drip like molasses dripping out of the sky. And these molasses drips were maybe 20 to 30 feet wide, and they would drip down in slow motion. You know how a lava lamp looks when you flip it?
Yes.
Okay, that's what it looked like. It was real slow, dripping down, but the drips were also black. And these drips were coming out from over my head all the way to the horizon. So there was hundreds of them dripping in slow motion. And then they would touch the ground. And when these drips touched the ground, the explosion, they didn't throw up a dust cloud or a mushroom cloud. There was just a loud thunder as they touched and then smeared into the ground. But it was so loud, Shannon, that it sounded like a howitzer cannon from a destroyer or a loud tank. It was so loud. Each one hit the ground, and where I was standing, the ground started to shake and rumble, and I was in such terror when I saw this. My mouth was hanging open, and I was asking myself, what is this sight that I am watching? My knees were shaking, and after these drips touched the ground, and then after the explosions, each drip gave birth to a black tornado. So suddenly there's black tornadoes all over the land in front of me, and they're just spinning around. Some stayed in the same spot. Some wandered back and forth. Some started going away from me to the side, and then some started coming toward me. And when I saw these black whirlwinds coming toward me, Shannon, it was the most fearful sight. My heart was beating in my dream. It was a nightmare, and I screamed, run to the basement. So I ran to a house that was behind me, and I ran down, and my wife was with me and my children. We went down to the basement, and I was looking out the basement window at this black whirlwind coming toward us, and I screamed, get down, get away from the windows. It's going to shatter the glass and cut us. But my wife wanted to see it, so she said, no, I want to see what this thing looks like. So as the whirlwind was coming toward us, about 30 feet before it got to our house, it turned at a right angle to the right, and then it turned again at a right angle and went right around our building. And as it went around the side of the building, we could actually see up the whirlwind and look, because it was so close to the window, We could see inside of it. And then it passed. And then the dream was over. Well, as I sought God about this, I said, God, what was this? God made it very clear, Shannon. The judgment of God is a terror. It is mighty. And as I was saying earlier, as Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And Shannon, it doesn't matter how confident a person thinks they are in their flesh and in their earthly accomplishments, no one can stand up to the terror of God. And when you look in the scriptures and you see the prophets and the men moved of God and the disciples who experienced the presence of God, you see people, humans, that quaked in their feet. You see people who, when they were in the presence of God, knew that they were undone. We see Isaiah knowing that he was undone. We see Amos seeing God with feet of brass on the altar, glowing. We see Paul, who fell at the feet of Jesus. We see John, who wrote Revelation, falling at the feet of Jesus. God is mighty, Shannon. And listener, God is not just some wimp that you can demand to give you riches, or he's not some little genie in a bottle that you can say, God, I'm planting my $1,000 seed gift, so reward me. God is not someone that you can twist his arm. God does not answer to the whims of man. God is mighty in battle. He is a warrior, and he is tired of the sins of man being tolerated inside of hearts of his children. So what is God going to do? He is going to have to send his judgment of terror, and it's going to get very black in our future. Over America, darkness is coming. Now, Shannon, I don't know what this event is. I have no clue what it is. But when this thing arrives, it's going to have the same reaction that I just described. And I believe that's why when God was sharing, when I had the dream of liberty being decapitated, he said it's going to test Christians in ways they never imagined. That's why he told Brother Wilkerson it's going to test Christians in ways they never imagined, because this thing is going to melt men's hearts. They're not going to know how to deal with this thing. It's going to be so powerful. So now I want to share. Now with that said, God gave me a prophecy and I published it June 15th. And I'm going to read this, Shannon. As I read this, I don't want to take too much time on how it came to about, but, well, let me just say this. From the time that I woke up on June 15th to the time that God gave me this, when I woke up, the anointing of God was all over me, and I knew he had a word for me, and I went to the computer, because when I first get up, I read emails, and I sat down to read email, and the Holy Spirit said, go to your chamber. I want to talk to you. And I told myself, well, I got to read a few emails. I'll get in there. And then the Holy Spirit said again, go to your chamber. I have to talk to you. So it was getting stronger, Shannon. And then finally, about 30 seconds went by, and God made it very clear, get out there now. And I have a prayer, a room where I pray. So I got up, and I told my wife, God has something. Something's going on. He wants to tell me something. I got to get out there. So I went out to my prayer closet, and the minute I shut the door, Shannon, the anointing just filled the whole room up, and he started speaking. And I grabbed my notepad, and I couldn't write fast enough. So what I'm going to share with you is what he shared, and here it is. It's called The Burden of the Great City, A Coming Woe of Destruction. And here it is. A fearsome woe is upon the land. His hand of judgment moves over the waters. The cup is full of mixture, mired with the deeds of men. Behold, the cup is poured out. There is more to consider. For in that day, before the eyes of the people, there shall be grief and sorrow. The carcasses of many shall be strewn upon the sands of polluted waters. The hearts of many will fail in disbelief. Their eyes shall behold a horror. They will be stricken with sadness. They shall be in want of a better day. Death will strike down the heart of the proud. Prepare for a great woe. A mighty wind will descend from the sky. the clouds were dissolved before their eyes. Anguish shall be upon the land. It shall be with strength and fervor, and none shall be at rest. A burden shall arrive at the great city. Now right here, this prophecy is mentioning a city that's going to happen to. A shaking will rock the ground. The ferries and the ships shall reel to and fro. There will be shipwreck. The cargo will release and be lost. Burning clouds shall cover the face of the land. They shall gasp as they behold the darkness overshadowed with blackened smoke. The dead shall be sifted from the living. The breath of destruction shall be mighty and wide. The great city shall melt like burning pitch and give birth to many fires. A banner will proclaim this tale. A banner lifted high with no celebration or comfort. A banner shall replace their wants with soulful mourning. A banner without a victory. A banner proclaiming defeat. The city shall be poisoned. Woe to this city, for great pain has arrived. Who will watch and who will be among the fallen? The storm has begun. The winds shall arrive. The conquest approaches. The great nation will fall to the ground. There shall be a great spoil. The eve of destruction has passed. Her appointment is at hand. Only a remnant shall endure. Only those that seek his face shall find comfort and mercy. Well, there it is, Shannon. A prophetic word that isn't going to tickle anyone's ears, but this thing is an event that's coming to America. And there's going to be fires burning when this thing happens. I had another prophetic dream, and I was in a helicopter, this was about a year ago, looking down over a metropolitan city, and the strange thing about it was there were about another 100 helicopters all hovering over the city, and the entire city had hundreds of fires burning below us. There were skyscrapers burning. There were entire neighborhoods burning. There were shopping malls burning. There were stores burning, cars burning, and we looked down. And it was a sight to behold. And then that dream was over, and this prophetic word that I just read mentions that there shall be fires. And I believe Dmitry Dudeman said that he saw fires burning over across America in different cities.
Yes, sir.
Did you mention his prophecy?
Yes, he saw nuclear attack, folks. Las Vegas, Florida, Louisiana, Los Angeles. Then you match it up with Jonathan Hansen, nuclear, biological, chemical attack. Some of the same cities. And he said God showed him that whatever the total body count was during 9-1-1, the next time it hits will be 1,000 times that. So if there's 3,000, there'll be 3 million next time. He said all the buildings will be on fire the next time around.
Amen. Now, Shannon, I mentioned to you when we first started this program that I was in prayer, and I was actually asking God what to share. And when I was praying, he gave me some things to mention, and I want to mention them right here. I wrote them down.
Yes, sir. Take them.
I've been asking God, what is this darkness, this cloud? What is it? And in April 20th, 2009, exactly 1 year before the Gulf spill, because the Gulf rig, Deepwater Horizon, exploded on April the 20th of this year. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, on the same day, April 20th, 09, the Lord gave me another prophetic dream, and in this dream, and I published it, it's on my website, you can go there and read it. In this dream, I was looking at the weatherman on CNN. I'm sorry, I take it back. It wasn't CNN, it was just the local weather guy. At the time this happened, I lived in Colorado. I'm now in Idaho. But when I had this dream, the weatherman said, okay, folks, here's what's happening. And when he said that, a map of Colorado filled the screen, and you know how they do that for the weather, and they'll show where the rain's going to be and the lows and the highs and all that. And
yes.
That's what I thought was going to happen in the dream. I thought it was a dream of the snow that was going to come, or that's all I thought it was. So when he said, here's what's going to happen, he showed the map of Colorado, and then within 1 second, it was like a black piece of paper covered the entire map except for the very, very top part of the state where I lived in the Fort Collins area. Everything south of that became black. So I didn't understand that, first of all, because why would the whole state turn black? And then the numbers 10-6 appeared in blue glowing letters over the black. And it was 10-06, so it looked like 10-6, and then the dream was over. Well, when I woke up, I was wondering, does that mean 10.5 inches of snow is coming? Or I didn't know what that meant, Shannon, but the blackness over the whole state showed that it wasn't a normal dream. And to this day, I still remember it very, very vividly. So I went and asked God. I said, God, what does this mean? And the Holy Spirit said, publish it. And I said, but what's the black? And he said, publish it. And I said, well, is it June, the 6 months of 2010? Is this a date? Or is it, I didn't understand what it meant. So I published it, Shannon, and it's on my website right now. And to this day, I don't know what it means. And I'm saying that right now because if in the future some event happens to explain what it means, well, at least we're saying in advance right now that it was published and it's there. I don't know, does it mean October the 6th in a few weeks? Something has happened, it's going to come, it's going to bring the black darkness? Is that the date? I don't know. So I'm saying that because I keep seeing when I'm praying in prophetic dreams and prophecies that darkness is coming over the land. A black whirlwind is coming over the land, and I saw this thing. So, listeners, again, I don't know how this thing's going to play out, but I do know this. It's going to be terrifying. Now, as I just said, I was asking God, God, what do I share? What do I tell them this darkness means? And this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. He said that illness, there's going to be a valley of illness coming with polluted air. The Holy Spirit said that, so I wrote that down. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I'm just saying it right now. Another thing is, they will see and behold with their eyes images of horror. Okay? So that's another thing. People are going to see it. Third thing, a plague of darkness awaits many sons of disobedience. So this darkness is going to happen to those who have not repented. Another thing, the plague will be upon many that are unshielded. So take that to heart right there.
Uh-oh.
Again.
Keep going.
Sorry?
Keep going, brother.
Okay. Unshielded, Shannon.
Tell you what comes to mind, and it could be one of many things. I'm thinking EMP strike. That's just in the physical. There's a spiritual ramification also.
Exactly, and thank you for saying that. EMP is very, very possible, whether it's from the sun or from the enemy. And putting it into the spiritual realm, we see, the Bible tells us, God is our shield. He's supposed to be our shield, our covering, but this plague is going to happen to those that do not have God as their covering. So again, here's the warning, Shannon. Make God the covering. Here's another thing. A season is coming where beauty in America is going to become ashes. That if the ashes turn to beauty, the beauty is going to turn into ashes. The former things of America, the former beautiful things of America are going to become words in a song of a distant memory. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Here's another thing. The season coming is going to be when the strong will faint. However, the humble will find refuge in God. And a portion of God will find his refuge. A portion are going to find his shadow. So, Shannon, I need to state this to everyone listening. Folks, be that portion that finds the refuge and the shelter and the shielding from God. Unfortunately, here's what else the Holy Spirit said. Most will refuse to be shielded. Most will refuse to be humbled, and instead they will stumble. They will forsake him. They will instead willingly walk over the road of darkness. Isn't that sad, Shannon?
Yes.
So as this happens, people who didn't prepare in advance will sing a hymn, and their hymn will be sung, but it's not going to comfort them. The Holy Spirit also said this, the sparrows, his sparrows are going to watch the sons of men in agony. They're going to witness the fall of the rebellious ones. God's creation is going to see this happen. And there's going to be many people in anger, many people in confusion, many people in heartache. But the sting is going to be sure, it's going to be set. And just like a wasp has no mercy in its anger, so shall these days bring no comfort. These days are going to sting, Shannon. So the shelter awaits everyone. So who's going to find it? That's the question. Darkness is coming. It's going to cover the land. It's going to be like pitch in the night. So what the people need to do right now is to forsake their own ways. They need to forsake their trust in man. They need to renew their forgotten trust in God. They need to renew their hope in God. Because if they don't, they're going to seek bread and not find it. The promises of the lies that they're hearing right now are not going to feed them. They're going to fail. So people need to put away the lies right now and seek to be in the court of God, to seek to be in the courtyard of God, to seek Him like David. The way that I shared earlier, Shannon, holding on to the horns of the altar. Now, at the end of that prophecy I just read, it said the remnant will find it. So I want to talk about the remnant right now. Folks, please know this. The remnant has become a buzzword on the internet. And Shannon, have you noticed that?
Yes.
We're the remnant because we know about the New World Order. A lot of people believe that since they listen to your program or Steve Quayle or Rick Wiles or my show, they're automatically the remnant. But that's not how it works. Because
that's right.
The remnant is the person who knows these things and who understands these things that I'm talking about. But in addition to that, the remnant believer has repented. That means he's striving for a higher calling. It means they're tired of old excuses. Now, folks, did you hear that? The remnant is tired of excuses. They have no more excuses. That means they're tired of being flaky. It means they've repented. So the remnant, when the remnant shows up, that means they're the only ones left, Shannon. To be remnant means past tense. Because remnant means the leftovers. Remnant means the piece that was cut off, set aside, that made it, that survived, that endured, that overcame. That's what remnant means. So to be remnant, Shannon, we have to actually live it. To be remnant, that means that we saw it with our own eyes and we survived. To be remnant, it means we step over carcasses. To be remnant means that you live in a house with five, you live on a street with five houses, your house is one of them. But in four of the other ones on your left and to your right, they perished, but you didn't. That's what remnant means. Remnant means that you found the secret place. Psalms 91 actually already happened. It was proven to be true. So to say I'm remnant means nothing unless you're living it. The remnant is a lifestyle. The remnant is a badge of commitment to God. The remnant is not a bumper sticker, it's not a poster, it's not a t-shirt. The remnant is Psalms 91 in the secret place of God. Now, by the way, Psalms 91, he that dwelleth is what it says. Dwelleth, Shannon. That means they know how to be in that room. It means they've discovered that room. To say, I'm Psalms 91. I've heard people say on forums, and they say, don't worry about what's coming because just claim Psalms 91. Well, how do you claim to be in the dwelling place if you haven't done it? To proclaim it means nothing unless you are dwelling in the secret place. That means hours on your knees. That means your knees have calluses. That means you know how to be on your face. That means you know what a box of Kleenex when you're alone in the presence of God is all about. That means that you know about the shelter of God. You know what His presence is like. You know what the sweet aroma of worship from your own lips is like. That's what the remnant is, Shannon. And the people listening today need to discover that. It can't just be a proclamation. It can't just be my iPod has scary doom porn on it. That's not the remnant. The remnant is living it, Shannon. The remnant is the spiritual bank account full of the treasury of prayer. So that's what I want to leave with your listeners today. Listeners, please take this to heart. And I hope that this message, Shannon, goes viral all over the internet. I hope that the people of God would share this thing with their families. I hope that they download it and give it to their kids and tell them, please listen to this thing, because we are in dire, perilous times right now, brother.
Nathan, we talked over the weekend, and God showed you a vision of a needle? God was looking for some needles to sharpen?
Oh, yeah, I did tell you that. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. It wasn't a vision. It was the Holy Spirit telling me. I was asking him. I said, God, tell me what the remnant is, because I want to know it so that I can put it into practice. Here's what God said. The remnant are the precious ones that discover me beforehand so that I will love them so much, I will cherish them so much that I will hide them like a needle in the haystack. God will hide us. That's the remnant. So a needle in the haystack is a rare, very precious, expensive thing, Shannon. And it means that there's not a lot of them in there. That haystack does not have a lot of people hiding. But a needle in the haystack also means that you've been made sharp. You're sharpened. Your spirit has been made sharp. That means that God has knocked off the rough edges. That means submission to God to allow him to be the potter to knock off those rough edges. That means submission and understanding that when God wants to do something sovereignly in our lives, we don't argue with it. We don't fight it. We don't ask a bunch of questions. We say, God, not my will, but thine be done. That's what makes a sharp person a needle for God. And then God will have no choice. It's like a father wanting to hold his precious one in his arms, a little baby that he loves so much that proves how adorable they are in the eyes of God. That's the hope that we need to strive for. And Shannon, when I have these prophetic dreams over and over, I hide in the dream, in the shelter, and the tornado goes around us, or whatever it is coming. I've had other ones, I won't share them, but I've had boulders falling toward our house and they go to the left or to the right. It's Psalms 91, but we need to get to that point where we know he's going to protect us, where we are sheltered in his under his wings. But that, again, Shannon, means taking up the cross, getting rid of the idols in our lives, getting rid of the things we tolerate, and getting serious with God.
It means total obedience, doesn't it, Nathan? It means, in the words of my grandmother, completely sold out, folks.
Completely, Shannon. So how do you say it enough? You know, I was talking to Rick Wiles over the weekend, and he told me, you know, it's frustrating. How much can you warn? How much can you tell the people it's coming, it's coming? And still, they're not ready. And still, their lamps are empty. They don't have oil. By the way, you know that story of the lamps, Shannon? It says in the Gospels, at the midnight hour, the cry was made to come to meet the groom. It happened at night. That's why they needed oil in their lamps, because right before the groom shows up, right before Messiah shows up, our Savior, it's going to be dark. It's going to be at the darkest hour that we can possibly imagine. So if we think, Shannon, if anyone thinks they can master this in their own strength without the lamp and the oil of God, they're kidding themselves. They will stumble. They will fall off the cliff. The path is going to go through rocky places where they have to, it's like a ledge over a cliff with a 100-foot drop. But if they have the oil in their lamp, they'll be able to see those tight spots. They'll be able to maneuver and navigate themselves through the tight spots that are coming. That's why it's so important to have oil in the lamps, so that we can see in the darkness. The darkness is coming, Shannon. A great darkness is coming. Amen.
God have mercy. I want to ask you, with the parable of the 10 virgins, they were all virgins, weren't they?
They were.
But five of them had no oil. What was the oil, Nathan?
The Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Getting full of God. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. In Isaiah, Jesus said, I will make a highway in the desert. A watered place in the desert. So Jesus is the water in the desert. So many people are empty because they go to church and they hear the false gospel, empty, ear-tickling message that gives them no water. So they leave still thirsty. They leave still in captivity. They leave still in bondage to their addictions and to their fleshly carnality and to their old way of thinking. They're not getting victory. So they leave thirsty. So, Shannon, the pastors, why aren't they sharing this It's so frustrating. The pastors don't understand it. They don't get it, that they are the lifeline for the people. They're the mouthpiece for the people. And they have such a great opportunity to give the people water, but they're not doing it, Shannon. So you have five virgins that aren't getting water. They don't have oil in their lamps. And they leave sanctified and satisfied. They leave church self-confident, but it's going to prove to not be enough when these things happen.
The reason why, Nathan, is because they're wolves. And they'll be used by the New World Order to herd people into the camps. But then it'll be too late. Folks, the time to act is now. And we're all getting ready to go into the wilderness, and it will require you to be sold out and be able to totally rely on God and His Son, Jesus Christ, or you will die in the desert. You will faint. You will not make it. And not anybody can prepare for everything that's coming. Beans, bullets, bullion, it's not going to save you this time. If someone still has money listening to this, my best advice to you is give to the poor, the widows, the orphans, bless Israel. It says that those who bless the poor, they have lent to God, God will repay. Because the money system's about to fail. And the question is, what do you have in your heavenly bank account?
Amen.
That's my 2 cents worth, bro.
Amen.
Nathan, we've got 4 minutes remaining. What would you like to say in the remaining time?
In closing, listeners, my spirit, my Holy Ghost alarm is on red alert. We're at the highest DEFCON level right now, that something's coming. I believe that an event is coming. I don't know if it's war or a terrorist attack, a dirty bomb, or even a meteor, Shannon.
Yes.
You know, that's not out of the realm of possibility, because we see in Revelation a giant mountain was hurled into the ocean. So we don't know. Or is it an EMP blast from the sun or from our enemy? I don't know, but the time to prepare is now. The time to seek God is now. And after you seek God, it says in the book of Proverbs, the wise man sees the evil coming and he hides himself. So after you are in the right place with God, prepare your family and do what you can to have some measures. The person that does not prepare is going to be standing in a government breadline. I believe that, Shannon.
Let me qualify what I said. I do believe you need to have some food, people, and water.
Right.
And he that doesn't take care of his family is worse than a heathen.
Amen. Exactly. So, you know, people still today will go spend $50 on a video game. Their Wii, when they could have taken that $50 and got some extra supplies for their pantry. And I'm not trying to sound radical right here, but it's common sense.
Joseph stored grain for 7 years, and so did Noah.
7 years.
Brother?
7 years. And I've noticed a lot of people want to poo-poo the preparation message, but so be it. To him who has ears to hear,
yes,
let him hear, but do it. Amen.
Folks, I prepared when I had money to do it, and I praise God. I didn't know it at the time that there would be a time when I didn't have it. Bottom line is, you can all do something if you buy a bag of rice and some tuna. That goes a long way, some beans. The point is do it now while you still can. Do what you can, and having done all, stand.
All right,
Nathan, yes, sir, give out your contact information, please.
Watchmanscry.com. And that's WATCHMANSCRY, watchmanscry.com.
Would you close in prayer for us, brother? And I want to say God bless you for being brave tonight and speaking the truth.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person listening, and I ask you to let your Holy Ghost put a hook in their jaw and pull them towards you, God. Let Holy Ghost conviction melt hearts that are hardened, God. Break up the fallow ground of every person listening. Those that have strayed from you, God, show them that you are the only hope. Jesus, let them cry out to you in repentance and in mercy. Let them forsake their ways of the flesh and have mercy on them, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you, Nathan, and you're welcome on this microphone anytime, brother.
Amen, brother. Well, thank you. God bless. We'll see
God bless you. Yes, sir. We're going to do this again, folks. And we've got this on MP3. Shortly, I want to say one last thing in the minute remaining. I've been seeing two numbers, 333, Nathan, and 911. Almost every night I've been seeing 911. Well, the 9-11 is pretty obvious, but tonight I added the 3-3-3 together. What do you get? You get 9. If you have the 9-1-1 again, you get 11. There you go. I got 9-11 two ways.
There you go.
The trigger fix event is coming, folks. God bless you, my friend.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Nathan Liao of Watchman's Cry. I would like everybody to go and subscribe to his newsletter. I would like you to send this program out to everyone you know. It will be on an MP3 shortly. God bless you. Take what Nathan said to heart, folks. We have been warned. Now what you do will be on your hands. He has done his job. He has sounded the alarm. God bless Nathan. And I will see you again on the next program. May the Lord bless you, keep you. Folks, if you have any money left, prepare for your families for a rough ride. Feed the poor, the widows, the orphans. Bless Israel. And having done all, stand and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.